Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. So thankful to be able to have the program every week, and I'm thankful for the fact that you're willing to listen. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. While we're waiting on our first call, I would like to talk about this question. What if we believe a lie? What if we believe a lie? And I'm talking about religiously, of course. And you might think, well, the answer to that is obvious. Believing a lie is would cause us to be lost. But really, it doesn't seem to be too obvious to everybody, because isn't that the basis for denominationalism? This theory that everybody can teach different things and believe different things religiously, but we all end up at the same place? That would mean, if that were so, is that would mean that all of these different people, believers, could believe a lie. Because it's different than the truth. There's only one truth, obviously. 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5. It's one or the other. All of these believers could believe a lie, or many lies, and still be saved. Let's talk about that. What if we believe a lie? First, I'd like to turn to an illustration in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 11 through 24. I want to read that. It says, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and went out after the man of God. He said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Get this. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre or the grave of thy fathers. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way." This prophet was told by God to go on this trip, and not to go off course on the trip to anybody's house to eat bread or drink water. But when he met the old prophet said, well, he told the old prophet, I'm not supposed to do that. When the old prophet invited him to his house to eat bread and drink water, he says, I'm not supposed to do that. The old prophet said, no, an angel told me that you could. So the younger prophet believed the lie and went with him and ate bread and drank water. Of course, that was the opposite of what God had told him. And so after he left there, God calls the lion to meet him at the way and slay him, killed him. You see, the younger prophet believed the lie that the older prophet told him. The text says that he lied unto him when he said that an angel had told him he could come back with him and eat bread and drink water with him. He lied unto him. The younger prophet believed the lie and acted different because of believing that lie, acted different than what God had told him to, and God caused him to die, to be eaten by a lion because of that. So when we believe a lie, even if we sincerely believe a lie, God, and that causes us to disobey God, God is still displeased with us. It's not okay with God. Speaking of the fact that this older prophet, when he lied to the younger one, that an angel had told him he could come back with him, Galatians chapter 1 verse 9 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." That verse says, probably speaking possibly from a standpoint of a hyperbole when it mentions an angel, but regardless, it says, even if an angel were to tell you something different than the true gospel, if you preach that, you will be accursed spiritually. You'll be lost. If you believe a lie religiously, you're going to be accursed spiritually, lost. Now, really, where I got the title from this for this topic is from 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me read verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So here's a person who believes a lie religiously. It says he's going to be condemned. It says because they did not believe the truth. It says because they did not love the truth. If they had loved the truth like they ought to, they would not have believed a lie. Is that a valid excuse? I believed a lie. In other words, somebody told me something that was false religiously, and I sincerely accepted it. Is that a valid excuse? No. This verse says if you believe a lie religiously, you will be condemned. We see that also in a passage like Matthew 15:14. "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now this is an analogy. Two blind men are walking, say, down through a pasture, come up on a ditch. What's going to happen? They're both going to fall into the ditch. You need one of them to be able to see, to warn the other guy, "Hey, we need to go around this ditch or go over the bridge." But both are blind. They fall into the ditch. The blind leader here represents the false teacher. The blind follower represents us if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. The ditch represents H-E-L-L, the bad place, being lost. If we allow that false teacher to lead us astray, we don't have a valid excuse, even if we're sincere. It says both will fall into the ditch, the false teacher and us, if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. You know, many think, well, as long as I follow my pastor, if he's teaching the wrong thing, he'll be held responsible for that, but I'm responsible to follow him. No. If he's teaching falsely and we allow him to lead us astray, both will be lost. Both will fall into the ditch. A verse in the Old Testament that would teach this same thing. Proverbs 14:12. "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That describes a religious lie perfectly. It seems right. We've been convinced. It's not that we're doing this on purpose, but we're believing a lie, kind of like the younger prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. He didn't do that on purpose, at least the way I'm talking about it. The older prophet told him it would be okay to come to his house, eat the bread and drink the water, but he lied to him. The younger prophet believed the lie, went to his house, eat the bread, drink the water, in violation of the instruction that God had given him not to do that, but he believed the lie. He thought it was okay, but he died because of it, because it was a disobedience. He disobeyed God. He believed that lie and disobeyed God. There's a way which seems right unto a man, and it seems right. It seemed right to that younger prophet, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12, though, is talking about spiritual death. If we believe a lie, if we act according to a lie, a way that seems right unto us, but it's not, it's a lie, the end thereof is the way of death, spiritual death. So all of these different churches, all of these different preachers preaching different things, and they say, "Oh yeah, but we can all believe these different things and all end up at the same place." No, if you believe a lie, you're going to be lost according to the Bible. That's what God said. We can't sugarcoat it, brethren. We can't sugarcoat it, friends. We can't sugarcoat it. We got to say what the Bible says. And if it says that if a person believes a lie, he's going to be lost. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other topic, 877-655-6755 is the number to call. 877-655-6755. Now, let's talk about, and we're still hoping somebody will give us a call about this or any other Bible topic, but while we're waiting on a call, and the lines are open, by the way, let's talk about some religious lies. Now remember, we've just proven with four or five passages that if we believe a lie, I'm talking about a religious lie, it will cause us to be lost. Because you remember John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Only the truth will make us free. Believing a lie, it's believing something different from the truth and will cause us to be lost. It will be a lie different from the truth, and believing a lie causes us to be lost. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Charles from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just regarding what you're saying there. The passage that you quoted where he said that they, because they did not receive the love of the truth, on the one hand, it looks like an ominous situation that if a person, gets dealt a bad card, then there's numbers up. But I think that passage gives us a safety thing there. If a person has the love of the truth, then they can, they're probably going to be all right because they'll naturally gravitate toward the truth, is my understanding. And then, Jesus said, seek and knock. If a person has that attitude, and even in the Old Testament, I was thinking of Psalms 25, verses 9, and also verse 14, I think it's where it says if a person's humble, God will guide him. That type of thing.
Yeah. Chuck, I'm reading Matthew, Proverbs 25, verse 9, Psalms 25, verse 9. It says, the meek shall he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. I agree. And that is a very good verse to illustrate what you're saying, and I agree with you 100%. When we look at 2 Thessalonians 2, Chuck, I think the believing, the loving of the truth and the believing a lie go hand in hand. If we really love the truth, we won't believe a lie. But if we believe a lie, that's evidence that we really didn't love the truth. And as you're saying, if we seek, we will find. That's guaranteed, Matthew 7:7. So, but Chuck, when somebody believes a lie, that's evidence that he didn't love the truth as he ought to, right?
I would say so, yeah, yeah. And, it's also, I was thinking about this the other day, too. It's kind of interesting in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where Abraham said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe somebody even if they came back from the dead, which tells me the Word of God has the power. Any honest mind, when they read it, they'll be convinced by it. I was just thinking about that the other day, that the power there, that's just as good as if somebody comes back from the dead, talks to a person, if they have the right attitude.
Chuck, what we're talking about tonight is all these different teachings, religious teachings, and it seems like most believers out there think that all of these contradictory religious teachings, we can all believe and practice different things and all end up going to the same place in heaven, that is heaven. And what we're showing is that no, these things, if they're different from what the Bible says, they're a religious lie, and if we believe a lie, we're going to be lost. So we're not going to all end up in the same place, are we?
I agree 100%. Yep.
Thank you for your call, Chuck.
Sure. You bet. Good night.
So let's talk about some lies, some religious lies that people believe that will cause them to be lost, for example. But if you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other topic, the number to call is 877-655-6755. First of all, let's talk about something that's been in the news a lot in the last few years, and that is this idea of gay marriage. I want to read for you. It's from the Old Testament, but it shows how God views homosexuality. It's Leviticus 18:22-23. It says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." So, of course, the New Testament condemns homosexuality, but the Old Testament did also. Here, it's condemned in the same breath with having sexual relations with an animal. So the Bible views them kind of in the same category. A man having sex with another man is kind of like a man having sex with an animal. It's condemned. Now, the media will tell us, and political correctness will tell us, that gay marriage is okay. Even many churches now are telling us that gay marriage is okay. But the passages like Leviticus 18 and Romans 1:26 and 27 and the New Testament show us that homosexuality is an abomination. It's condemned. There's no question about it. We don't need to give countenance to it. And anybody that believes this thing that it's okay for gays to marry and that we Christians need to say it's okay, they're believing a lie. They're believing a lie. And what happens to a person that believes a lie? Well, we've already shown that if we believe a lie, then we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. Andy from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just curious as to, on the believing the lie, if you're predestined, how does that come into, explain that predestined by God to me as far as that's concerned. Isn't that kind of like an insurance policy for us to kind of?
You know, well, the Calvinists have a wrong concept of predestination. Let me read for you a passage in 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. Predestination has to do with an election, have to do with God choosing who's going to be saved. But the Calvinist believes that God chooses, like, for example, that Andy's going to be saved and Pat's going to be lost before we're ever born, before the foundation of the world. That's not how it works. God chooses who's going to be saved conditionally, based upon whether or not they people obey, believe and obey the gospel. In this passage in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, this is talking about election or predestination. He's chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. And so, God didn't choose Andy or Pat to be saved no matter what they did. What he chose was is that people who believe the truth would be saved. Now, underline, for the purposes of our program tonight, Andy, underline the word truth. He chose or he predestinated the people would be saved with those who believe the truth.
Right.
Now, if we're believing a lie, we're not believing the truth, are we, Andy?
That's right. That's right.
And so this passage shows then that we will not be chosen by God to be saved to salvation because we're not believing the truth. Any follow-up, Andy?
I'm good with that. That's very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. Crystal from Utah, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just want everybody to know that I am against gay marriage and homosexuality, but I have a friend who is gay, and I'm just wondering, like, is it a lie for me to be friends with him?
No. Matter of fact, you should be friends with him so that you're better able to reach him with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
Let me mention something to you, Crystal. There's a principle in all throughout the Bible, but I think it's made clear by Ezekiel chapter 3:18.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die," and God is speaking here, mm-hmm. "and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." And so, Crystal, as Christians, my responsibility to be in a case like that would be to warn my friend. It doesn't mean I have to bring it up every time I see them.
Right.
But as I have opportunity, because I love them, I'm going to warn them, because I don't want them to be lost because of this sin. I'm going to warn them with kindness and love. And of course, it's going to be up to them. We can't twist their arm. It's going to be up to them whether or not they accept. We need to do it, show it to them in the Bible, not just that it's our opinion, but that this is what God says. You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yep.
So as we have opportunity in a kind and loving way, point that if we don't do that, then this verse says their blood will be required at our hands. So we need to warn them.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean we're not their friend, because it seems to me that we have a better shot at reaching them if we remain their friend and treat them kindly and nicely, and then try to warn them.
Exactly. Yep. I've invited him, even though he hasn't taken the invitation, but I invite him all the time to come to church with me, and I just feel that, like, one day I keep inviting him because I just truly feel that one day he's going to give in and come with me, and I hope that I can, like you said, reach out to him and help him understand that I want him to be saved. You know, I want him to go to heaven. I don't want him to be in hell. And so hopefully one day I can reach, get to him and save him. Not me save him, but.
Thank you for your call, Crystal.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Number to call is 877-655-6755. Another religious lie is that we're saved by faith only. A lot of preachers say you're saved by faith only. They say all you have to do to be saved is accept Christ as your personal Savior. But James 2:24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." That's the only time the Bible ever uses those two words together, faith and only. And it says we're not saved by faith only. It's also by works. And so that's a religious lie. The Calvinist says we're saved by faith only. The Bible says it's by works. It's not by faith only. In connection with that, many preachers will say you don't have to be baptized to get your sins washed away. But you know, Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, and I quote, "And now why tarriest thou?" Or "what you waiting on," as we'd say in Alabama. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This verse then makes it clear that our sins are washed away, and of course we know it's by the blood of Christ, that our sins are washed away when we're baptized and not before. Now a lot of preachers will say you don't have to be baptized to get your sins washed away. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, that you're saved by faith only. But this verse says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And so our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ when we're baptized. Another religious lie is this idea of once saved, always saved, or that a Christian, a true Christian, can't fall from grace. But Galatians 5:4 reads, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." So many preachers say a Christian can't fall from grace. But Paul, writing to the Christians of Galatia, said, "Under these circumstances, ye are fallen from grace." So God says you, many preachers say you can't fall from grace. God specifically, in those very words, says a Christian can fall from grace. So that's a religious lie to teach that you can't fall from grace. And the people that believe that lie are going to be lost according to passages like 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, which we read earlier. You know, another thing that we're told that's a religious lie is that sincerity alone is enough. But you know, Paul wrote or said in Acts 23 verse 1, he said, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And so he lived in all good conscience. He was sincere even while he was killing and persecuting Christians. Was he saved then? No. He was sincere, but sincerely lost. So sincerity alone is not enough. And then another religious lie. They, people say, God doesn't care how you worship him, but John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, with the right attitude and according to God's truth." According to God's truth, we got to worship God. And so it does matter how we worship him. As we've pointed out, believing a lie will cause us to be lost. So all these preachers and churches teaching that we can all teach and believe different things, and that we'll all end up at the same place, saved, that's not true. This believing a lie will cause us to be lost.